by that witch of a queen and her poison apple. But without the bad, how would we recognize the good? Our aim in this book was simple: to use the idea of being cursed as a jumping-off point, offering writers the chance to rework some of the classics, as Jane Yolen and Adam Stemple do in Little Red, Neil Gaiman does in Troll Bridge, Lilith St. Crow in Hazza and Ghani, and Christina Henry in As Red as Blood, As White as Snow, making them their own and presenting very different spins on the familiar. At the same time, we wanted to include new, modern cursed stories, morality tales from the likes of Christopher Fowler, Hated, James Brogdon, Skin, Katrina Ward, At That Age, and Margot Lanigan, The Girl from the Hell. Not all of these stories fit the traditional fairy tale style, but all of them share the dark heart at such stories' core. Authors were encouraged to think outside of the box, or even inside it, literally, as you'll see in M.R. Carey's darkly comic Henry and the Snakewood Box, and Michael Marshall Smith's Look Inside, whilst drawing inspiration from sources such as Peter Pan, Christopher Golden's Wendy Darling, or the Bluebeard legend, Angela Slatter's New Wine, not to mention creating their own mythologies, Jen Williams' Listen, drawing inspiration from or blending others, Alison Littlewood's The Merry Dancers, creating curses complete with their own rules, Tim Leben's Again, and Maura McHugh's Faith and Fred, or even bringing in horror staples, Charlie Jane Anders' riotous Fairy Werewolf versus Vampire Zombie. By the time you've finished reading all the amazing stories from these outstanding authors, all at the top of their game, you'll realize that curses come in all shapes and sizes and are hidden in the most unlikely of places, as if you needed any more incentive to beware. Why, they might even come in the form of words in an anthology. You just never know. Curses. You've got to love them. Marie O'Regan and Paul Kane, Derbyshire, July 2019.
Castle Cursed. Jane Yolen. The curse crawled silent as a serpent through the roots of the hedge. Wallflowers wilted, though the garden remained as if painted onto the ground. A hawk in a deep stoop falls, bill first onto the loam. The moat serpent floats. Horses stop between one whinny and the next. Three guards still on duty draw no pay for 100 years, but still keep most of the castle safe, though not the tower room where the princess sleeps. She is caught between one sigh and the next, lips pursed as if inviting a kiss, or tasting the sourness of age, or regretting everything except the needle in her palm.
As Red as Blood, As White as Snow. Christina Henry. It would please me more than anything in the wide world to see this ring upon your finger, for it would mean your consent to be my wife, he said, and knelt before her. A murmur went around the room, a rush of approval from the courtiers, for what more could their princess want than this prince? He was wealthy and handsome, and came from a fair land, or so it was said, for his land was so distant that none among them had ever seen it. His manners were so delightful that he had immediately been dubbed Prince Charming, though, of course, no one would show such disrespect by calling him this within his earshot. Snow did not find him charming. When she looked into his dark, dark eyes, she saw not the fizzy delight of charm, but the flicker of a tongue through sharp teeth. He held the ring before her, his smile white and easy and expectant. Charming had chosen his moment well. She could hardly refuse him before the whole court, however much she wished to throw the ring in his face and flee. Snow's eyes flickered to the king and queen. Her stepmother's mouth was flat, the corners of her eyes tight.